Beneath the headlines, behind the timelines, there is a story no one wants you to find. Welcome to Some Unapproved Thinking, where forgotten truths, buried patterns, and invisible systems rise to the surface. You weren't crazy. You were just early. Let's begin.
In 1899, Nikola Tesla stood in his Colorado Springs laboratory and watched something impossible happen. The photographs from that era are grainy, black and white. Tesla beside a machine humming behind him that nobody can name. Edison's competitors disappearing from the history books. And you've always felt it, that something was missing from the timeline. A gap, a deliberate silence. But what if that gap wasn't accidental? What if the most technologically advanced period in human history was systematically erased and the people responsible are still alive in the institutions you trust today? So, have you ever wondered, like, why we don't hear much about certain inventions and ideas from the 1920s to the 1940s? I mean, we skimp on some of the most fascinating technological advancements in history during that era, right? It's like, poof, they just vanished from public discourse. Today, I want to dig into this idea of a timeline theft theory, where certain technological milestones were, let's say, conveniently overlooked or outright erased. Now, think about guys like Nikola Tesla. This is a man who pretty much laid the groundwork for a lot of our modern electrical concepts. But what happened to his energy ideas? This is some unapproved thinking. But, quick sidebar before we dive into this, I have to share a song I've been listening to lately. It's called Calling All Angels by Marrow. It's a really emotional, kind of haunting track, but in a really subtle, beautiful way, it actually came out of a difficult time in their life, and you can feel that throughout the song. It has that feeling of reaching out or searching for something and not really knowing if anyone's listening. The sound is super immersive too, almost cinematic, but still really stripped back, which I love. Meryl's just one of those artists where the voice and writing feel really raw and original, and it's cool to see it already getting attention from places like Flaunt, V Magazine, and Grammy.com. If you're into more emotional, low-key music, I think you'll really like this one. I'll link it in the show notes so you can listen. You can stream Calling All Angels by Marrow on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you listen to music. Okay, now let's get stuck back into this idea of timeline theft. The year is 1901. A Serbian inventor named Nikola Tesla, the same man who won the AC versus DC current wars against Edison and sold his AC motor patents to Westinghouse in 1888, holds a vision for a device that transfers electrical energy wirelessly through the Earth itself. Not radio, not magic, wireless power transmission. He called it the Wardenclyffe Tower Project, and he had already demonstrated it in Colorado Springs. Construction began in 1901 on Long Island. His backer was J.P. Morgan, one of the wealthiest industrialists in America, the man who had already helped finance General Electric. But here's what changed. Funding stopped. Morgan pulled out. No satisfying explanation. Tesla's laboratory was dismantled. His papers were sealed. The tower was demolished in 1917. And within years, every major newspaper stopped printing his name. This wasn't simply a financial failure. The real reason Morgan walked away is darker than most history books admit, and it connects directly to a name the script usually leaves out, Guglielmo Marconi. In 1901, the same year Wardenclyffe construction began, Marconi transmitted the first transatlantic radio signal. Morgan saw the writing on the wall. Wireless communication was already commodified. But wireless power, free electricity, with no meter, no monthly bill, no infrastructure to own, that was a different threat entirely. Morgan famously asked Tesla, "Where can I put the meter?" There was no answer, and so the funding died. Something happened between the backing and the silence, and it wasn't just bad luck. In the same era, General Electric and Westinghouse were engaged in aggressive patent consolidation. The 1924 United States versus General Electric antitrust case, which you can research through the Library of Congress, revealed the extent to which these companies used patent control to dominate energy infrastructure. The court documents don't cite wireless power specifically, but they expose the mechanism controlling who gets to build what and when. The principle extended far beyond light bulbs, because wireless power meant no power lines, no monthly bills, no central grid, no control. Think about that for 1 second. At the turn of the century, someone chose to kill the technology that would have made electricity free. Yeah, huh, free. Not expensive, not subsidized, but liberated. And Tesla wasn't alone. Between 1920 and 1935, approximately 143 patents were filed for alternative energy devices. Not theories, patents. Filed, examined, approved, then buried. Some were for water-based engines. Thomas Henry Morey, a Utah inventor, demonstrated a radiant energy device in the 1920s that allegedly drew power from the atmosphere, what we'd now call zero-point energy harvesting. His device was tested, documented, and then systematically discredited. His laboratory was vandalized, his research scattered. Charles Pogue, a Canadian inventor, filed patents in the 1930s for a high-mileage carburetor that allegedly achieved over 200 miles per gallon. Automotive industry representatives attended his demonstrations. Then the demonstration stopped. Then Pogue stopped. The pattern isn't random. The timing isn't coincidence. Every single one of these inventors had one thing in common. They threatened the oil economy. Not just electricity. Oil. Gasoline. And coal. The entire infrastructure that emerged from the Industrial Revolution depended on scarcity. Depended? No. That should be present tense. Depends on scarcity. In 1927, the World Economic Conference in Geneva brought together the world's industrial powers. The surviving records show discussions about cartel coordination and restraint of trade, mechanisms by which dominant industries could maintain market control against disruptive competitors. What that meant in practice was simple. Any inventor who developed alternative energy technology would be approached first with money. If money didn't work, the next approach was legal intimidation through patents and injunctions. If that didn't work, the final approach was character assassination and institutional erasure. And for the truly dangerous technologies, there was a formal mechanism, the Invention Secrecy Act of 1951, which gave the U.S. government legal authority to classify patents it deemed threats to national security or economic stability. Hundreds of patents have been suppressed under this act. Some remain classified today. You don't see this in school because school is funded by the same institutions that benefit from the erasure. But the evidence is there if you look. The missing years. The inventors who vanished, the patents that were granted and then mysteriously classified. On January 7, 1943, Nikola Tesla died alone in room 3327 of the New Yorker Hotel in Manhattan. 2 days later, the FBI, acting through the Office of Alien Property, raided his residence and seized his personal papers. Officially, they were investigating whether he had any contact with enemy nations during World War II. The agent assigned to review his technical documents was Dr. John G. Trump, an MIT electrical engineer, a name that decades later would carry different connotations. In 2016, the FBI declassified 250 pages of Tesla documents under FOIA. Those documents confirmed the seizure, confirmed the review, and confirmed that much of the research was deemed classified. What they described finding and what was never returned to Tesla's estate remains a matter of serious historical dispute. The 1920s to 1940 weren't deleted because nothing important happened. They were deleted because too many important things happened. And here's where it gets darker. Some of those inventors didn't just disappear. They were absorbed, hired by the very institutions they were fighting against. Yeah, offered salaries so large they had to sign non-disclosure agreements. Their research was classified, not destroyed, kept in private vaults, used not by the government necessarily, though sometimes, yes, but by energy corporations that needed to understand the technology well enough to suppress it. When you suppress a technology, you first need to understand it completely. So the brightest minds of the era were essentially kidnapped into silence. They kept working, the research kept advancing, but it never saw light. This is why the 1920-1940 period feels historically thin to you. It is. Entire dimensions of advancement were removed from the public record and relocated into private hands. What you learn in school is the official timeline. What you don't learn is the shadow timeline, the one that was actually happening in the laboratories and the boardrooms. The truly unsettling part? Some of that research never stayed hidden. In the 1960s, declassified documents began leaking from various government agencies. Some were about weather modification technology, devices that could allegedly influence atmospheric patterns. The science seemed impossible, but the signatures on the research documents were real, and the dates, always the dates, traced back to the 1930s, always to researchers who had vanished from public record. Names that matched engineers who had worked with Tesla or Murray or even one of the 143 others. By the 1970s, when the quote unquote oil crisis hit and suddenly alternative energy became culturally urgent again, the people who might have solved it were either dead or signed away. The momentum had been murdered. The generational knowledge chain was broken. You know, what's the most efficient way to suppress a technology? Not to prevent it from being invented. That's too obvious. Too many people might invent it independently. The most efficient way is to invent it, understand it completely, and then ensure that every single person who understands it is either imprisoned by an NDA, dead, or discredited. Then when someone else reinvents it decades later, they'll seem like they're inventing something new, and the cycle restarts. This is what happened to the 1920-1940 period. It wasn't deleted from history. It was mislabeled, reclassified, moved into a file marked irrelevant. And now, when you look at our current energy crisis, when you wonder why we're still burning fossil fuels when we supposedly have all this advanced technology, you're not looking at a failure of innovation. You're looking at a success of suppression. The most brutal part of this timeline theft is that it was legal. The Tesla coil patents were real. The AC motor licensing deals were binding contracts. The injunctions were legitimate court filings. The NDAs were enforceable. The Invention Secrecy Act gave it all a government seal. Nobody broke the law. They just understood how to use the law to create silence, to create a gap in history so large that entire technologies fell through it. And the gap is still there. Because if wireless power transmission worked when Tesla demonstrated it in Colorado Springs, it still works now. If zero-point energy harvesting was possible in Murray's Utah laboratory, the physics didn't change. These weren't fairy tales. They were suppressed engineering breakthroughs treated as though they never occurred. The energy, the actual physical energy, was still there. It was just privatized, classified, made into a secret that only certain institutions could access. Which means right now, today, someone knows something about how our world actually works that you don't. Not because you're stupid, but because knowing it would destabilize the systems that employ you, feed you, and define the rules of your reality. And that's the trap of timeline theft. Once you start looking for the deleted years, you realize they deleted them for a reason. And once you know the reason, you can never unknow it. The 1920-1940 period wasn't erased because nothing happened. It was erased because everything that happened was designed to never happen again. We're still living in the silence they created. This is some unapproved thinking. Tracy, out.
If this story didn't sit right with you, good. You're not here to be comforted. You're here to see what others overlook. Thanks for exploring some unapproved thinking. Learn more at someunapprovedthinking.com. New episodes drop weekly. Subscribe, share, and keep questioning, because the pattern's still playing out. And next time, we're going deeper.